Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Right, well, good afternoon, folks. 2 hours in the aftermath now of the first match of Jesse Marsh's regime. Joe Donoghue and Baron Cross of Leeds Live back in the car after the match at Leicester City's King Power Stadium. 1-0 to the Foxes and thoroughly unjustified, really, to be honest. Leeds, which we'll talk about in a moment, I felt played really, really well. Certainly deserved, if not to win the game, then at least to draw it. I mean, they didn't deserve to lose, to be honest, with the way it went. Quite galling, but as we'll discuss in a moment, it felt like that might have been coming with the way the chances just weren't being buried, Joe.
Yeah, they did, on a day when you could have, you know, had a look at some of the VAR decisions, some of the refereeing calls, you can blame a lot, but Leeds did have the chances and it just didn't fall right for them today. I think there was Kasper Schmeichel was in good form, which hasn't been the case for the entirety of the season. You know, there was a save that he made from Daniel James, a save that he made from Rodrigo's header, and there was one very, very good save sort of on the goal line as it came across, and Rafinha just kind of tries to sweep it in. But yeah, it didn't go for Leeds on the day, and I think the one moment of real quality in the game, which was a neat give and go on the edge of the box from Harvey Barnes and Kelechi Iheanacho, and a good finish from Barnes as well, has done the damage. And I think there are positives to take, and Jesse Marsh said that in his press conference, yeah, didn't he? He wanted to, you know, he said the only negative is the result, which unfortunately is the thing that matters, but it's not as, there were definitely improvements on recent weeks, I think it's fair to say, because, you know, Spurs, Liverpool, they were, you know, you were struggling to come up with any positives after those. But today, I think there's reason to be optimistic about the fixtures that are coming up. But yeah, it's in the immediate aftermath, it's a little bit disappointing to not come away with anything when you've created as much as Leeds did today.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. They've come off a really, really horrible run of results under Marcelo. And initially, it was, if you're ticking off the list of things you want to see happen, it was pleasing to even get to half-time with a clean sheet intact. They were in the game. There's been a bit of discussion online, but for me, the first 10, 15 minutes weren't brilliant. It was a little bit chaotic for both teams. I'm not saying Leicester were in control, but I wasn't quite seeing that identity from Leeds. And I think for me to expect there to be an identity in the first 15 minutes after 4 days on the training pitches is obviously a bit much, really. But I was sort of trying to sort of just take it as I saw it. And ultimately, they did play their way into a bit of form and began to control the game. And into the second half, especially, the home crowd were turning and they were airing their frustrations in the stands. And it was really, really pleasant to see some different patterns of play from Leeds, attacking in different ways. We've had 3.5 years of Marcelo and the way he plays. And you get so used to seeing the way they build attacks, you can almost see it coming. And particularly when they're on a bad day in front of goal and they don't finish chances. But today, the chances were really good quality. And if we are going to look at the positives, I know some of you on here will like XG and some won't. It's one of those sort of new age stats that does divide people. But the bottom line is that statistic, that fact, does suggest that Leeds created some very, very good chances and actually had the biggest margin between them and their opponent all season. So, in other words, in one game, Jesse Marsh has created a difference,
a disparity
between Leeds and the opposition than Marcelo did all season.
So, measurable one as well. Yeah.
So, if you are looking for positives, that's a stat that sums up what we're trying to say. Leeds were good, and in that second half, especially, they seemed to be creating chances at will.
Yeah.
As Joe has said, Schmeichel made some good stops. There were some last-ditch blocks, some poor finishing as well from Leeds, your lack of composure for a few of the players. But generally, there's a lot to take from it. We've just said on the walk back to the car, they don't have a lot of time. We are now 11 games to go. That's another defeat today. And whilst we can sit here and praise what they've done in 4 days, ultimately, we can't sort of stretch that out for much longer. Ultimately, they don't have the time to really work with them. We don't have a pre-season. We don't have 5 or 6 games at the start of the season where they play their way into form. They need to win games immediately. And had they drawn today away at Leicester, I think that would have been palatable and it would have been a start. Losing narrowly, it is a bit disappointing, and ultimately people will tonight still feel that the blow of that. But we are, as we've said for a few weeks now, even before when Marcelo's sacking, we've been looking at these games coming up now, and Villa and Norwich, 3 days apart, both at Elland Road. They are monumental games, and if they don't take a minimum of 4 points, you know, then there's going to be some really, really tough questions to ask in the coming weeks, and we hope they can come up trumps. But the point is, at least we come away with a loss, but it wasn't like it was just chaos for 90 minutes. No. We were thinking, wow, they have got a job on their hands. There was enough there for Marsh to go away and actually build upon and feel like he has made progress.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is the key message, is there's a platform there. There's a launch pad to go from. And, you know, you're saying about those opening 10, 15 minutes when it was kind of the team maybe getting to grips with a new way of playing. I think they did exhibit a bit more control on the game. There were a lot, I said to you, sort of about 30, 35 minutes in, there are patches here where it looks as though Leeds are the home team.
Yeah.
Because they were patient with their build-up. They were creating chances. They were creating good quality chances. Jack Harrison was particularly good in the first half, I thought, sort of on the side nearest to us. And I think what you were talking about with XG, you know, it's essentially just a measure of how good the quality of the chance that you create is. You know, a model attributes like a numerical value to it. And Leeds were you know, they surpassed Leicester's total by nearly 2 goals today. So, you know,
which in XG terms is huge, Joe.
Yeah, massive. I mean,
that is
massive,
huge.
Yeah. That is on all, you know, on all fronts. On paper, that is a Leeds win. Obviously, poor finishing does come into it, and I think there was some poor finishing today. I think there was one ball in particular where Harrison cut it back to Rodrigo, and all you're asking is just hit the target. Hit the target, make Schmeichel work. He's having a good game, he might save it, but you can't ask more than getting it on target. And he put it over the bar. There was one that Rodrigo swung at as well. There was a few others where there just wasn't the sort of the optimal connection that you'd want to get on a ball.
Yeah.
To really send it, and I'd say Harvey Barnes's goal, that was what you want. You know, that's what you do on the training pitch. You execute the movement in the build up, and then you put it, you angle it so it's far enough away from the goalkeeper, get enough power on it, and
sick of the sight of him, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean,
keep scoring against Leeds.
Same side of the pitch as well. He scored against Leeds at Elland Road, but I think if we're looking at positives, you can look at the two games coming up. I think with Villa and Norwich. They're both at home, both at Elland Road. I'm sure Jesse Marsh will get a strong welcome.
Yeah, I think he will.
He's I think he's carried himself in difficult circumstances really well this week. That continued today in his press conference, in his comments before the match, this might divide people, but in sort of huddling the team on the pitch at the final whistle, you know, just trying to show this unity, trying to show that they're all working in the same direction. That they're all believing in that Leeds are going to be a Premier League team next season. But yeah, I mean, do you want to dissect the game? Or do you want to dissect some of the moments?
Yeah, go back to the start and look at the shape. So the team sheet came through, and Bamford, as expected, was on the bench. That wasn't a huge surprise. We virtually ruled him out of starting the game, and if anything, the bench being on the bench was a boost. Ultimately, post match, he did confirm that Bamford would have managed 10 minutes max. So I can see the logic in still bringing him because of that fact. But of course, the match needs to be in a particular state for it to be worthy for Bamford to come on with 10 minutes to go. And ultimately, Marsh just felt that they needed impetus sooner, which is why he went for Roberts, which is completely fair enough. We don't want to take any risks with Bamford at this stage again. Forshaw was on the bench, which was a bit of a surprise, but it does then transpire that Forshaw was one of these unnamed players who had a choppy week on the training pitch, hadn't done as much training as some of the others. And ultimately, that was what sort of forced Marsh's hand and why he chose the team he did. And he said that because they had so little time on the training pitch this week, he wanted to take the 11 players who had the most time. So they had 90-95% of training this week in which to absorb the information. So ultimately, it shook out into, I'd say, in the first half, it felt like more of a 4-2-3-1. And then second half, it did feel like more of a 4-2-2-2.
Yeah.
with Rodrigo pushing on a bit more to support Dan. Rodrigo was the key part, really. You know, Rodrigo would either be in the front two with James or dropping off a little bit with Rafinha and Harrison, maybe just spreading a little bit. But certainly not the width we're used to from Bielsa.
No.
Firpo and Dallas brought that.
Didn't he? Yeah.
But Rafinha and Harrison were far more in the channels at their widest. And it seemed to work, I think. You know, that's the best we've seen Harrison for a while. Did he get any more than five key passes?
I didn't check at full time, but I know at half time he had four.
During the game, I think last time I checked, maybe 70 minutes, he was on five. So he was a threat, and he did provide the service at long last. So he stood out for me. I think Rafinha was at least a little bit more like himself, had that quality.
A few flashes.
Yeah, and Firpo, I thought, did very, very well. He applied the press well, managed to force turnovers around the halfway line, and then, as we know, it doesn't need a second invitation to get to attack, does he?
Yeah, no, I think Firpo did well today. I think on the whole, the defence did do well. I know
it did feel more solid, didn't it?
Yeah, it felt more compact. And whenever Leeds lost the ball, it wasn't always straight away to, you know, right, okay, let's all just bomb forward. It was a case of, right, let's get our foot on the ball, let's make sure our shape's good, and then let's release this front four.
Yeah.
But in terms of formation wise, it was, you know, you had interchanging. It was mainly James up top, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, he led the line.
But you have, as you said, Rodrigo sort of maybe flitting into the forward line. But that 4-2-2-2, you've got, I don't know, the second two is sort of where the wingers typically would be. And
yes,
this is something which has been Jesse Marsh's sort of his showpiece. You know, he it's not a conventional formation because it is very narrow.
Yeah.
But it allows those players that you have in that second two to spread wide and kind of fill those spaces and link up. And I think with the legs that you've got on Firpo, the legs that you've got on Dallas today, that was probably the right system to play, I think, because you know those fullbacks are going to get up and down. So you could pack the central areas. And I'd like to see maybe if Leeds had a bit more dominance in the middle, because this season, you know, the area just outside the penalty area, sort of around the D, There's been very little that Leeds have created from there. You know, passes into the penalty area. I think, while today the best chances did still come from wide, they came from sort of the channels and playing in a little bit narrower. So maybe that's something we can look to. I don't know about you, but I noticed set pieces. They were different today.
Yeah.
Two men on set pieces, one as a decoy.
Harrison and Dallas,
yeah.
Right on the left foot.
And then they did sort of like a stutter free kick routine. Mm. When swinging in a deep free kick, and again that was something that which Marsh mentioned pre-game and post-match.
He did mention post-match, and I agree with him. I think they did look more solid, both attacking and defending set pieces, which is only a small thing, but it just felt that way, didn't it? It just felt like there was a bit more threat and a bit more of a solidity when they were defending it. So trying to think out who else stood out, really. I mean, the big surprise was Ayling was again at centre-back alongside Pascal Struijk, and it was Dallas at right-back. And I just felt that, I suppose, the call he had to make in that case was, what does Cock bring to the central midfielder role and what does Dallas bring to it? And clearly he wanted Cock's defensive traits in there, a bit more solidity, because otherwise you look at it at face value and say, well, clearly, you put Ayling at his best position at right back. Mm. You put Cock at his best position at centre back, and you put Dallas, arguably his best position, in centre mid. So clearly, Marsh had his reasons, but that felt a bit odd. But apart from that opening 10-15 minutes where, you know, Pascal gets the early yellow card, they kept their noses clean. And Vardy, much like at Elland Road, was just quiet. Not in the game.
Yeah, he's quiet, and I think that's because whenever Leicester did come forward, the shape that Leeds had, it restricted. It became more compact. You know, you had.
Barnes was the outlet, wasn't he?
Yeah, you had Click and you had Cock sort of just sitting in front of the centre halves, and the fullback weren't pushed on an enormous amount. So you kind of had a bank of six to defend, and that's probably why Vardy wasn't getting any joy. But yeah, Barnes was the outlet. I think Dallas had an okay game, but when it came
steady, but Barnes had him on toast, didn't he?
Yeah, but when it came up against Barnes, and that's no slight on Stuart Dallas. You know, Harvey Barnes is a very talented player, but I think he did have his number today.
Looking at the wider, so I mean, we've kind of discussed the game there. We've discussed some of the chances. We've discussed Tyler and Bamford, for sure, very much a regulation sub. Gelhardt again caught the eye without scoring, but again, we're just seeing that bit of promise, and just immediately it just looks a bit more at it and a bit more dangerous. And they needed a finisher today. Again, as we said many times this season, they needed a finisher, and they did just feel like the chances were better today. You know, Marcelo's teams have never been unable to gain territory and to at least sort of get shots off. But the actual quality of the chances and the openings that came today, you know, we are talking, you know, within the 6-yard box, you know, within the goalposts, in the penalty box, in that sort of golden corridor, if you like. There were some really nice chances and just lacked a finisher. So Gelhardt was good. I really, really pleased to see him in there. Faded a little bit. I think, to be honest, once the Leicester goal came, they did, as we know, goals change games, and Leicester did manage to find their mojo and assert some control and ease the game out, to be honest. Jesse Marsh then. Obviously, we were on Marsh Watch today. We'll have various pieces over the next few days, I'm sure, with various analysis of his role on the day, both on the touchline, pre and post-match. The crowd did acknowledge Marcelo. Obviously, first game since his sacking, they were always going to in some way, and his name was chanted throughout the afternoon. But in the 23rd minute, Jesse Marsh did get a song, which did surprise me a bit.
It did a little bit, actually.
In the first game, say, he hasn't actually done anything for Leeds yet.
But I suppose that's a reflection of how well he's been received in his first week. You know, he has spoken very well. He could have said. I think I could name anything which has made me sort of think, oh, maybe you've not read the room on that.
No.
I think he
very
has.
Steady.
I think he's been steady, yeah. And that's, I think that's important because, you know, the sensitivity around Marcelo sacking is very important, and you have to approach that in the right way. Nobody wants to step into the shoes of a living legend, as he said.
Yeah.
But he's prepared to do the task. And, you know, today he came out with different tactics, with new ideas, new set pieces. And he said, and you know, the greatest XG difference of the season. So I think for him, he can take stock and think, well, you know what, it's not going to be straightforward. I think that, you know, there's stuff to work with here, and that's what he was saying.
Very tactile with the players, wasn't he? There was a lot of in the first half it was Firpo because he was on that flank, and in the second half it was Dallas. But the fullback tended to be his voice for the rest of the team, and he would dispense instructions through the fullback to the rest of the team. And clearly, a lot of note writing today. He's working on the job and sussing things out on the job as he sees them, because he's had so little time with them. But a lot of clapping, a lot of pointing. I remember one particular instance just before the hour mark where he was sort of doubled over almost, pointing at the space. And there was a Leicester player without any pressure on him. And he was sort of saying,
beckoning the
come on, why are you not pushing? And Click almost wasn't too sure whether to press and commit himself with other runners behind him. So very, very, you know, never really sat down once at any stage. No. And of course, the big sort of pièce de resistance was the huddle at the end. We asked him about that. He didn't really sort of flesh out why it was a huddle as such. It was more just trying to reinforce a positive message to the players. And I kind of get that. I mean, it would be easy for a team with a run of form as they are on to have that fragile confidence and to get down on themselves today. And they need that, you know, immediate. You know, the earliest opportunity, Marsh was in there saying, you guys played well today.
Yeah.
Do not let negativity seep in. That was very, very good. And as he said after the game, if they play like that, they'll get the points they need.
And that was kind of the message from the press conference that stuck with us. It was, you know, he told the players, if we play like this, we'll get the points we need. And it's that sort of faith that you're going to want to hear as a player. I mean, it's now 7 games without a win.
Yeah.
It's the longest run Leeds have been on since...
Yeah, because it was 6 before Watford, wasn't it, at the start of the season.
And that
was
the longest one under Bielsa.
Yeah.
So that means it's
supposed to
be like four years, yeah. Since you know the Heckenbottom and Christensen and that period, so it is a really testing time, and I think it's going to be difficult to get out of it. But the games are there; they're coming thick and fast, and you've got to as cliche as it sounds, you've got to take it game by game, and just think, look, we have to be better than this team on this day.
Mm.
And I just had a look while you were speaking, Baron, you know, talking about XG and everything. Leeds' total today was identical to their total at West Ham when they won 3-2.
Wow.
Like, identical. So the quality of the chances they created at West Ham were exactly the same when you add them all together as the chances they created today at the King Power. And yet, they come away with no goals and no points. And at West Ham, it was a really big moment. So it's tough, and that's where, you know, luck comes into it.
It was fine margins, though. Like I said, the chances were there. The numbers show the chances were there. Those of us that watched the game could see the chances were there. Just the finishing and some good goalkeeping and some good defending from Leicester. You know, they were solid on the line, and as Joe says, certainly a bit of luck as well, because we're talking inches in some of the cases where the ball would have flown in. So we move on. So Villa, not long to wait now. Thursday night, Aston Villa come to Elland Road under the lights. Huge, huge game. We're expecting to hear from Jesse Marsh again, I would assume, on Tuesday. That's kind of the general trend, is 2 days before a game. If not, then Wednesday, depending on his personal schedule. And we'll get some updates. He said after the game today that Bamford won't be ready to start on Thursday. He's very, very honest and clear on that. But they are very hopeful that he'll have, if he was capable of 10 minutes today, then who knows, 15 or 20 on Thursday, perhaps, which will be a boost. But as we've said, he is going to be rusty. You know, he has not played in 3 months. And even then, that game 3 months ago was about 10 minutes from the bench. Yeah. We're looking at mid-September since he was in sharp match form at Newcastle. So manage your expectations of that. Same with Phillips and Cooper. Hopefully we'll get some positive updates on them. We know they're on the grass now, at least, which is a big step forward. But they've got to manage those hamstrings. You know, they had serious hamstring surgeries, and we've got to watch that carefully, and they've got to manage that. But one thing coming away from today was thinking you could picture Phillips and Bamford in that formation and see them making a difference. You know, the idea of Phillips being in that rearmost two, either with Click or with Forshaw, does whet the appetite a little bit.
Absolutely, because he's been doing the job of arguably two players for the last 3.5 years. So for him to have a partner there,
a bit more time to get his head up,
maybe,
perhaps.
Yeah, maybe freeze him up to do some of that more expansive stuff that we know he's so good at. So yeah, and Bamford as well. You know, there was one chance today, if you haven't seen the game,
the
back post. You know, Harrison kind of beats his man and just kind of fizzes. I don't know what he did with his foot, but there was no pace on the ball until he just hit it and just fizzed it in. Great delivery, and no one was there. It kind of went out for a throw-in. You've got to think that Patrick Bamford is gambling on that and trying to get on the end. So yeah, don't lose faith. It's encouraging that, you know, the chances were there. If there were no chances and the defence was just as ramshackle, then
we'd be feeling quite low.
Yeah,
but there is at least something to build on there, and so there is reason to believe there is improvement on the way and better results on the way. So as I say, Jesse Marsh's transcript. You can see 3.5 years of this. Just so used to saying Bielsa's transcript. Jesse Marsh's transcript is on the website already. Joe's already tapped that one out, so you can get full questions and full answers on what he said to get some proper context and get your teeth into the messages he's putting out there. And we'll have more analysis out on there tonight and into tomorrow as well, before we then swiftly look ahead to Aston Villa. So thanks for joining again. A loss, but a very different kind of loss to recent weeks. And hopefully the tanker is turning around and we'll see something much, much better with the home fans on Thursday, and what hopefully will be a raucous support, providing the first sort of 10-15 minutes really sort of get them G'd up.
Yeah, I think it's got the potential to be quite a memorable night. You know, the first home game of a new manager.
Yeah, true.
You know, coming in, making it's a difficult situation, but you know, it's nights like that when teams rally, and you know, you feed on that energy from the crowd and it transfers to the players. So I think that's something which could be quite consequential.
Absolutely. In the week. Thanks for joining, folks. We will see you again soon.